And welcome back, everybody. It's another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 865. Coming at you on a Monday afternoon to recap the week 15 fab. Talk some potential players to drop that are owned and rostered in 50 to 75% of online championships and much, much more. But before we get to that, you can follow me on Twitter at BDIntric. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at BreakingBen_TBented. How we doing, my friend?
Doing pretty well, Bubba. Yeah, just feeling the crunch of roster decisions. You and me were going through our lineups before, throwing ideas off each other, and it hurts. Well, it's aggravated when your main event team has like five homers in a week, and then you're slowly falling. But other than that, trying to stay positive.
Yeah, it's all you can do. It's one week at a time. Like, it's the old adage we were saying, like with players at the beginning of the season, if they got off to like a 2 week slow start, everyone panics. But if we did this in July, would anybody care? We're not going to be perfect every week, unfortunately. I know to win it overall, you kind of almost have to be, so that's why you're probably stressing even more. But last time I checked, still top 10, folks. Top 10, the kid, is top 10 in the main event overall. So, yeah, I get it, but it makes you kind of almost overanalyze things when you have a week like that.
Yes, it's the micromanaging really steps up a lot, because then you're like, hey, I can't really do this for a third week in a row. Because it's been 2 weeks now of uninspiring hitting from that top main, and that's why I'm just barely inside the top 10 now. But I mean, if it's been that bad with how bad the hitting has been for my team, I guess I should be feeling pretty good, because I guess it could be worse.
Yes, it could be much, much worse. As many other ones, only nine other people know the less pain than you, apparently. So,
and I don't want to like complain to you and Ryan, because then I'm going to be like, oh, hey, then you guys will be like, oh, this guy's in the top 10 in the overall and he's bitching still. Like, I don't want to be that guy, but it's still hard not to do that.
That's what friends are for, to be a soundboard, but it's also, it's called being competitive. Like, I get it. You want to be the best, you got to be the best, and can't have those hiccups. I get it. I got no issues with it at all. Freaking bitch all you want. That's good. It doesn't matter to me. But yeah, no, it's fun to watch the climbs, the ups, the downs. It's also nice to know that I'm not the only one that has those weeks where it's like, what the heck just happened? Because in the end, we talk about it like all the time on multiple shows, is we can only make the best educated guesses with what we have in front of us. They still have to go out there and execute. And that is not very easy to do. And the worst part is when lock happens on Monday with your pitchers, your hands are tied now. And you have to just hope this is how it goes. You can't midweek go, oh, no, I need to change it. Nope, that's not going to happen. So that's a big bummer in the entire situation. But all right, let's get to it. Week 15 fab, Ben. As we keep saying, week in and week out, spending's going to go down and activity's going to go down. And oh, my goodness, Ben, did it go down this past week?
That is very true, Bubba. Yeah, I was looking briefly before we hopped on the stream, and I was surprised to see that we are now trailing 2025's balances through 15 weeks, both the OCs and the main events. So first, the OCs, we're at $310 now, average per team remaining, whereas last year it was $295. So it's a difference of $15. And really, it comes down to a spike in spending last year in week 15 in both contests. So in the OCs first, it was $33 in week 15. This week, we're only at $17 on average per team. So a big drop, and that was down from 24 last week. Then moving over to the main event, we're at an average of $276 remaining per team. So ahead by a good amount on the OCs, and just by the lack of moves in the OCs and lack of runner bids, I'm not surprised to see the balance per team in the main event well below what the OCs is at this point. And I think we're going to see that gap continue. And when we talked about last year's final balances going after week 27, the main was $30 below the OC anyway. So it's happening already, and maybe it'll get a even bigger gap. So just to recap again on the main event, 276 left. This was 267 last week through 15 weeks. And we were at $22 per team this week, whereas in 2025, it was $36. So we had a bump, like I said, in both contests last year. Not sure who contributed to that. But then last week in the main event, it was $27. So we were down only five this week compared to the seven in the OC. So, yeah, we're about $10. I guess it's all about your perspective. So we have $10 more on average in the main event, and we have 50, well, it's nine, and then 15 more in the OC. So be interesting to see if something happens. Well, actually, it's going to be Hunter Green probably. If he's available or not available in leagues, he'll be the spike in spending per week, I'm sure, depending on how many teams he's available or how many leagues he's available in. But I think that he could end up being a – he could contribute to a less red week based on the color coding we got here.
Yeah, that's likely to happen this week, and as Hunter Green is expected back, barring something strange, because he looked outstanding over six innings in his last rehab start. So Hunter Green should pitch this week, which will put him in the player pool for a 4th of July bonanza, fireworks bonanza this weekend. Because otherwise, Ben, I know it'll probably be talked about a lot, but I was just even thinking about it today. We've already seen the slowdown happening with 4th of July on a Saturday this year. I feel like this weekend's fab might be a little on the weaker side of things because people might disappear. And, you know, not everybody. Most of us will still be doing our things, but that will happen. And, you know, go live your life. Do what you got to do. But that's a good possibility.
The Canadians will take over fab this week.
Oh, God. That means Waxman's fab review is going to be amazing. I can already see it now. But, yeah, maybe we'll get the FCC on that or something. All right, let's get to it. The most added player in the NFBC Online Championship, 12-teamers this past week, Brandon Sproat of the Milwaukee Brewers. This is why it's always great to recap week to week when your most added player is Brandon Sproat. Picked up in 182 online championships, as high as $75, average of 14. And trust me, folks, the averages are all going to be rather low on the bigger ads here, and rightfully so. Brandon Sproat was added in 18 main events, high of 81, average of $38. Brandon Sproat was dropped in 1OC to top things off. He was awesome in Cincinnati last week in Great American. That's a big plus. The Brewers look like they're going to a six-man for now, so that kind of affects things a bit. But Sproat's expected to get Cincinnati at home this week, Ben. Yes, he's a former high-end prospect. The inconsistencies on the mound have terrified me for fantasy, but people are liking what they saw in the last start. What about you?
Yeah, I'll have to admit, Bubba, that I did have Sproat as my top pitcher ad in the one league where he was available this past weekend. So a couple things I'll go over. I have, of course, trend with me is the three-week underlying metrics for pitchers. I have that pulled up. He's been incredible. 16.9% swing strike rate over the last 3 weeks for Sproat. That's resulted in a K-minus walk of 29.1%. His CR and the xFIP are around 2.5. His xERA is 208. Hard hit allowed percent is 30. So this is interesting. His EV allowed is 91.7 miles per hour, but the hard hit is 34.4. So I guess he must have a pretty skewed distribution of hard hit balls. Like when they hit it hard, it's very hard, but it's not hard often. That's the only way I can explain that. And then he's been lucky at the BABIP 167 allowed in the last 3 weeks, but when your swing strike rate and the K minus walk is that large, I think Sproat's definitely earned most of his good fortune. And yeah, to your point, I did have him early, at least in one fab league, and he was atrocious. So I cut him right pretty early on. I remember you thought I should have held, but I wouldn't have held him through all of this. So I was due to lose him at some point, but looking to add him back at the right price, of course. And I wanted to see if something's changed recently, but if you look at his pitch usage by game, just the last, I don't know, like four starts, even five starts, it's been, everything's all over the place. So I think he's just tinkering maybe too much in general, but I don't even want to read off like the usage by pitch because it's just all over the place. So he's definitely trying to figure things out, Sproat, and hopefully whatever he found works. I was also a little concerned with his spot in the rotation because he seems like he was the most likely one to lose it when Logan Henderson comes back, which could be next week. It feels like Henderson had a really good rehab outing. Yep. But I don't know if Sproat's the one to lose it now. It could be Gasser instead.
Gasser, yeah.
Yeah, but Sproat at least had a good matchup this week versus the Reds, who I believe he just dominated like his last time out. Yep. Yeah, it was the Reds where he had 10 Ks, no walks. So definitely deserving of being the most added pitcher, but it just tells you where we are at right now in the season where Sproat's the most added.
Yeah, and that's more what I was tongue-in-cheek. I still don't know what to do with him, so hopefully whatever tinkering he's done, I looked at Ryan's live lead bloom boards as you were talking, and it calculates there's a pitch mix change last 30 days, but you have to make a, like, to me, the way I understand it, it's a substantial change. Otherwise, things like kind of cross each other out, if that makes sense. he's tinkering, to your point, because he's not on the top like 20 changers in the last month. So it's not like an evident, like he went from like 10% to 35% in one thing. He's just adjusting things around, and it's always inconsistent, to your point. And that makes it hard. But hey, if it's working, it's working. And again, the biggest thing I could see taking a chance on, it's former high-end prospect that, you know, the Brewers have ways of making these guys pitch well. So maybe he's finally figuring something out there. All right, the next most added player in the NFBC Online Championships, Ian Seymour of the Tampa Bay Rays, picked up at 161 online championships, max of 117 bullish there. Average of 21, though, 75th percentile, 28. When it comes to Seymour, he has picked up in 6 main events as he was already widely rostered, high of 76, average of 44. He was dropped in 1 online championship, so I always enjoy these. But the thing with Seymour, I understand why people are pretty aggressive on him. Came behind a piggyback, 6 2/3, shutout, 7 Ks his last time out. 5 innings, 3 runs, 4 Ks when he started. Like, they've been extending him in Tampa Bay. The skill set's one that a lot of us have always liked. It's just a matter of will the Rays utilize him for, like, fantasy purposes for us. And he gets Kansas City this week, which is a matchup we want to continue to target for now. Potential two-step the following week before the All-Star break. So a pretty nice setup for Ian Seymour, looks like, going forward.
It does. He was taken in all my leagues, so I couldn't have tried to add Seymour. He has the most money spent on him in the OCs, despite having second most adds to Sprout. And I think that Seymour is more deserving of... So if it was a clean slate available in every league, I think that Seymour should have gone ahead of Sprout in a number of leagues. But they both probably should have been added everywhere. So it makes sense that Seymour, on average, had more spent form than he did, than Sprout did. And I'm not going to recite the underlying metrics for the last 3 weeks because of the piggyback. It kind of takes out Seymour's most recent best start or best appearance, where he had the almost 7 innings in relief. But hopefully the Rays keep him stretched out. And I don't know if anyone would come back necessarily that would kind of ruin that for Ian Seymour. But yeah, people liked him last year. He did well when he got called up. He was a popular DC target for sure. And I know Santu was talking about on the Waxman pod how he drafted him in a handful of leagues, and there were fab leagues, and he's had to cut him. And I'm sure many people felt the same way. So it's good that he got ramped up so quickly, Seymour, because he was pitching 1 and 2 innings a lot. And just got to be mindful of the walks, because that was one of the issues I had when he first started. When he started getting stretched out was the walks, and only 1 in the last 2 appearances. So if he can keep that up, then I think he'll be really good, but he's got to keep an eye on that.
Yeah, he's got to also keep an eye on just with the Rays. Like, they talked about it with Griffin Jacks. It's like an 80-pitch pitch count. It's very firm with what they're doing there. I haven't seen enough to be consistent with what they're doing with Seymour, just because of it's only been a couple outings. One's a piggyback, one wasn't, but I'm guessing he's like his start, he went 5 innings. That's kind of what Jax does. So keep that in mind as well. Like, the skills are great, but it took a full year of usage before they unleashed Drew Rasmussen to us. I feel like we're in the same boat with Seymour, where if they're going to keep babying him and work him out. And this is more of a 2027 project right now that we're really looking at with Ian Seymour. But remember that come draft day. All right. Next most added player in the online championships, Jake Bennett of the Boston Red Sox, picked up in 145 OCs, high of 98, average of 13, 75th percentile of $17. Picked up in 24 main events, as high as 78, average of 35 for Bennett. Amazing two-step last week where I sat him almost everywhere because it was at Coors and home versus the Yankees. He pitched 12 1/3 innings, 1 run, 12 Ks, 2 walks. Outstanding. It's really been a good run over his full 6 starts, and his minor league numbers were very, very good for Jake Bennett. So the skills are there. Garrett Crochet can barely play with a plyo baseball right now, so who knows when he's coming back. I feel like Bennett's got a long leash here, Ben, so I like these pickups. And like we talked before the show, he gets the road Angels this week. So are the Angels on the road? Regardless, it's the Angels, so that's a positive as well.
Yeah, I think they've been striking out. Actually, I have it up still. They've been striking out basically 29% of the time versus lefties over the last 3 weeks, the Angels. So an ideal situation for Jake Bennett. And I did sit him, unfortunately, as well in the one league where I have him last week, but he's in my lineup now. And actually pretty good pitchers available in the OCs, because I would probably have preferred Bennett. I probably would have had a Bennett, Seymour, Sprout if I were to go into Fab with the 3 of them available. But I was just surprised that Bennett was available even in main events. I don't know why he was. It was like half of them almost he was available, which I was surprised to see. And of course, everyone missed out on that. I wonder what his start percentage was because
yeah, it's a good
and
question.
then Yankees and in cores is probably enough to get everyone to avoid that. And of course, he had like 12 innings of great pitching. So yeah, not a lot to say with Bennett, but the skills definitely back it up. 14% swing strike rate last 3 weeks, 20% K minus walk. The BABIP and left on base are relatively close to being at average, so not too extreme in either direction. His xERA is 1.65, so Bennett looks pretty legit. And yeah, you mentioned Crochet being out for a while, and it seems like Bennett should be around for a while, especially when he's pitching like this. So I'm fully supportive of this ad.
Yeah, love this ad a lot. I was on this a few weeks ago, so full sign off here. It's interesting. I remember looking on the Fab show with Ryan. We were talking about whoever was playing the Red Sox this week. They now have four righties in that, or four lefties in that rotation. And the worst thing is everyone, you're going to be like, okay, I can, stream a right-handed hitter versus them. But it's Connelly Early, Peyton Tolley, Jake Bennett, and Ranger Suarez. It's not like it's a cakewalk in there. So very interesting when you have to go face the Red Sox these days. Speaking of righties that should play primarily versus lefties, but gets a plenty of at-bats versus right-handed pitching as well. Adalberto Hernandez was the most picked up, next most picked up player in OCs, definitely the most picked up hitter in OCs at 106 ads, average of $7, high of 27, picked up in 15 mains, average of 20, high of 47. Kind of surprised he was available in 15 mains. He slowed down the last week or so, but got off to a torrid start in June. He's got six home runs to go with a 240 batting average in the month of June. But more importantly, as everyone should know by now, the Marlins get the gift that the Pirates had 2 weeks ago. They get four in Coors and three in Sacramento. So a pretty sweet series where you almost wanted to roster any Marlin you could find.
Yes, they were top of my list wherever they were available. Yeah, I was able to get Herberto in one of those main events where he's available. I was happy with that. And yeah, so you mentioned how he's kind of been a little cooler lately. Yeah, he's got a homer each week, which is nice, but 10 Ks and 38 plate appearances isn't horrible. It's about 25%, and his K rate on the year is 24.5. So right in line with how he's been. And Herberto's xBA is 254 on the year. Actually, a lot of which is fine. It's actually has gotten unlucky if you go off of that because he's hitting 217 on the year, but he's got excellent sprint speed. His barrel rate's above average, 50th percentile. The exit velocity is 87th percentile, and the Coors Sacramento week is just perfect. So I he was an easy target of mine, and I remember there was some debate with like him and Edmund, but assuming everything goes well, I'm definitely looking forward to holding on to Heriberto for the power and the speed combo that he does bring. And I was more on that side of Edmund, just kind of sticking with the team context and the hope for the steals. But I think Heriberto has more upside at this point. So this is kind of a tangent, but just kind of things that we've talked about in the Discord. So I love this, and Heriberto is an easy start this week.
Yeah, and I like the point you made that you kind of want to keep him. I'm interested in Roberto before he had this series. Like to your point, like he's hitting the snot out of the baseball. He's a power bat that you need. He's kind of like a Soler type, and that's not always a great compliment, but it's kind of a similar profile. And I honestly think Roberto is better than Soler these days. So he's a guy that can stick, especially in the right matchups in the right week. And it's kind of crowded, and it's crowded in Miami right now in that outfield because everyone's getting healthy, like Konine's back and company, but just takes an injury and Herriberto's back to playing every single day once again. Something to definitely keep in mind. All right, Captain Jack Flaherty is back. Picked up in 102 OCs, as high as 38, average of 12. Picked up in 15 main events. I was shocked he was available in 15 mains. Average of 40, high of 62. Dropped in one OC. I dropped Jack a long time ago in my AC. Regret it, but at the same time, it was necessary at the time. You and I off air have talked about that pitching staff. Like things had to be done. I dropped Zach Gallen this week when that should have probably been done a long time ago as well. But Captain Jack came off the IL and pitched on Sunday, five shutout innings, three walks, and nine strikeouts for the Tigers pitcher. He was pitching really well, three earned runs or less in his five previous starts before landing on the IL bend. So where are you at on Captain Jack? He's doing that thing right now where the ratios have been okay, and he's striking out a ton of hitters, and I'm regretting this one at the moment.
Yeah, I can see why, but it,
at the moment, it was the right move, but it's just looking back at it, it's just frustrating.
It is, and you can only hold so many injuries anyway, so I don't blame you for cutting ties. And Flaherty's been – he hasn't been good for fantasy despite having better skills if you go off, like, the ERA indicators and things like that. And even, like, the K-minus – so the K-minus walk isn't as good as it was last year for Flaherty, mainly because the walks are up almost 3%. He's at 11.3 on the year, which is really, I think, driving a lot of the issues because his K rate's almost in line. It's within a point percentage of last year's 27.6, 26.7 now for Flaherty on the year. And like you mentioned, the 9 Ks in this first start back off the IL. So just for the upside perspective and how many strikeouts he's still getting despite not being good, I get adding Flaherty. I haven't touched him at all this year, whether it was drafting or a fab. So he's been so volatile, but if you need like a take a chance, then I don't really fault anyone for adding him. So it could go horribly wrong like it has for most of the year, but he definitely has upside to help teams in the second half.
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot to like there. And I know we've seen it before. He could turn into a pumpkin quickly. So I'm not like naive to that, but he's looking pretty good at the moment. Walker Buehler, who I picked up in a ton of leagues last week for real cheap. He's going cheap this week too, but Buehler has picked up in 98 OCs, high of 101, which is bonkers, but average of 12, 75th percentile of 15, which is very strong. Walker Buehler's picked up in 3 mains, average of 23, high of 36, dropped in 1 OC. But I talked about him last week when I picked him up, Ben. He's been awesome. He even went in to face the Dodgers, 5 1/3, 1 run, 3 walks, 5 Ks. It's been 5 or more Ks in 4 out of 5 starts. 1 earned run in each of his last 5 starts. 3 in runs or less in every start since May 10th. Like Walker Buehler, he might not be lighting the radar gun up. He might not be striking out the masses, but he's given you a chance for wins with good ratios for like the last 2 months, basically. So what are your thoughts on Walker Buehler? You're muted.
Damn, I don't recall muting myself. Sorry about that. I was going to say at least the ERA has been good. The whip has been a little questionable. Walker's whip on the year is 1.31. But granted, he has pitched better to your point. Yeah, the 5 starts in a row of 1 earned run is pretty impressive. It's hard for me to buy it. His swing strike rate in the last few weeks is still below 10, 9.6%. The K minus walk is pretty good, 17.9. That's actually really good. And he's also had a high BABIP against. But the K percentage has been 25%, and that's just a little, I think it's outpacing that swing strike rate a little bit. But with the way things are in pitching right now, especially starting pitching, you kind of just have to go with Buehler and hope that it doesn't blow up eventually because the walks and the BABIP could hurt. The BABIP it's weird. The xERA has been pretty good for Buehler, 3.23, but the exit velocity against is pretty high, and the hard hit's pretty high as well. So either he must be allowing a lot of ground balls, and that's why the BABIP's high, and it's helping the CR and the exit because lack of fly balls. I don't have that up in front of me, but that's what my hunch is. And also a high left on base, 95% over the last 3 weeks for Walker Buehler. So that should regress some. So he's good for now, but I'd just be wary of a blow up, which I think it'll happen at some point. Just hopefully it's not in anyone's lineup.
Yeah, no, he's a great bench streamer, I think, right now. Like I didn't start him against the Dodgers. I got him in a couple matchups this week I think he's playing the Cubs, I think, this week, and that could be good or bad with the weather. Never know how that works. But to your point, since May 10th, since it's been 3 runs or less than the 1, it's a 50.5% ground ball rate, to your point. So it is a pretty high ground ball rate, which is added to that BABIP that you're talking about. Still a 3.88 Sierra over that stretch. Like,
mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah, it's not elite stuff. I guess he's not going to probably light the world on fire, but it's a big improvement for a guy that used to be like what we thought would be a Cy Young pitcher someday. But all right, next most added player in OCs, we finally got to one that was already fully rostered in the mains. Ben, Caleb Durbin picked up in 98 OCs, average of 15, high of 22. I think we talked Durbin plenty last week, but in the month of June, 325 average, 5 homers, 5 steals, should be rostered pretty much everywhere if you can.
Yeah, not a whole lot to say. He stole a couple of bases with the Yankees the other day, and the power is, I think, not going to sustain. I believe he has an extremely low barrel rate. Let me pull him up real quick. The speed should be a little bit higher from what we were hoping for. Yeah, Durbin has a 2.9% barrel rate, and he has six homers and six barrels. His pulled air rate is 16.3%, which is about, I think it's close to league average, a little bit below it. So he's not even taking advantage of the Green Monster. So don't expect the power to continue for Durbin. You should expect some steals, and even so, like the app, he doesn't strike out a lot. His K rate is 14.6% on the year, but Durbin's XBA is still 239, so he's not hitting the ball that well despite not striking out a lot. But he could, maybe it takes a little bit for these numbers to correct because he's been bad for so long, but definitely worth the upside and even in 12s because of how bad third base is. So I don't really have an issue with these ads.
Yeah, no, it checks out. I'm a big fan of it, and hopefully he can go because I was like replacing. I got to replace Matt Chapman with him. I replaced Nolan Arenado with him. Like there's a litany of guys I would do is in 12s and 15s. You guys might be different, but I think Durbin's better than all of them, especially right now. All right, you could replace Matt Shaw with him, who's on the IL. So keep that in mind. All right, next most added player in OCs, Jorge Soler picked up an 85 OCs, average of 9, 75th of 11, max 60. So I might just stop, get rid of the maxes pretty soon. There's crazy outliers every time. But he's picked up in 19 main events, average of 27, max of 49, where that's more reasonable. He came back on the 22nd. He's hit safely in 3 of 5 games. He's got 2 home runs. He's hitting 250. He's also striking out 38%. The Jorge Soler experience, as I would call that. So, yeah, if you're cool with a 220-ish average and a lot of power, that's your dude.
Yeah, I feel better about Soler in a 15 because of his very singular profile, just mainly power like you outlined there. But I do regret not ha like taking a flyer on him in my Fab leagues where he was available. He only dropped on a couple people actually held him, and he was added back last Sunday in my mains, so I wasn't able to get Soler anywhere. But yeah, he is a elite power doesn't really translate because I've been in on him a lot in DC's last couple of years, but hasn't hit above 21 homers. That was his career high the last 3 or season the season high the last 3 years for Soler is 21 homers. So a little underwhelming, especially when the average isn't good and he has no steals. So he's got to hope he gets on a heater and hits a ton. But yeah, he's pretty one-dimensional and he could very easily be dropped eventually. And so Trout's on the IL and I don't know if. I can't imagine Wade Mecklar would take playing time away from Soler
No.
or Josh Lowe. But if they don't want Soler in the outfield and they want Trout to get time off, maybe his playing time, Soler's playing time isn't always there when Trout's back, but that's still a ways away. But for now, I get adding Soler, just he could be dropped eventually for whether it's performance or just playing time reasons.
Yeah, it'll be interesting when Trout comes back, how that all unfolds with, I guess, different scenarios with Josh Lowe is actually a grand slam, and but we know who Josh Lowe is. Wade Meckler's been good, but he's not great. Like lots of questions, but it is the Angels, so really in the end, who cares? All right, another player that's been fully rostered in main events and the OCs caught up a week later. Tommy Edman picked up an 84 OCs, average of 11, max of 37. Tommy Edman's hitting 333 since getting recalled on June 17th. No home runs, no steals. Edmund's never really done it for me for fantasy. I think he's a much better real life player, Ben. So I've never been super invested here. What are your thoughts on Edmund, who, like I said, already gone in your main events?
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize Edmund was on here when I was talking about him and Heriberto, but this is I was lucky to mention him already. And yeah, no homers, no steals. And I guess I'm optimistic for Edmund because it sounds like his ankle has been bothering for a long time, and that probably contributed to why he stopped stealing last couple of years. So that's the only case I can provide where there's optimism for him to steal again. But I agree. He makes more sense than a 15 Edmund. Whereas I think Heriberto, to go back to that debate, has more upside for a 12, especially. So I wouldn't in OCs, I don't think Edmund's the best option, but yeah, he should be rostered in 15s for sure. And just gotta wait and see if something happens because he definitely started hitting for more power when he went to the Dodgers, it felt like. I know their park plays up for power really well. I just got to see the steals, and the average should regress because I felt like he got unlucky with the average last 2 years in 2024, 2025, Edmund. So it's more of like an upside play, and there's a good chance, same thing with Soler, like Edmund could just get dropped eventually in the OCs in a week or two.
Full agree there. All right, we're going to pivot sooner than earlier. We're going to go to the main event page because I kept scrolling down the OC page, and it's going to be a lot of the same. We've talked about these guys over and over again. So we're going to give you guys some new names to debate so you can pick them up in OCs next week if you feel so inclined, because a lot of the names towards the top of the main event I was scrolling aren't even anywhere near the top of an OC right now. And that starts with Cooper Engel of the Cleveland Guardians. Cooper Engel was picked up in 46 main events, average of 14, high of 43. He was picked up in 40 OCs. So again, if he has a good week, this will change. Average of 10, high of 58 for Cooper Engel. He got to play every day, twice at DH, one in left field since he was recalled over the weekend. Got one hit over that stretch, Ben. But at AAA this year, he had 12 home runs, one steal, hitting 284. It's a full-time player that could be a catcher too. That's going to be the attraction to so many people. I wasn't interested. I actually stashed Ryan Jeffers in a couple spots this weekend instead of going for Cooper Engel. But what were your thoughts on Cooper Engel?
Yeah, I guess it was weird. I had written him down as someone to look at for my 15 teamers, and the only league where it really would have made a lot of sense to try to get Engel was where I have Carson Kelly as my catcher too, and I ended up not even bidding on him. I don't know. This is more of like, I think, prospect fatigue with me and like rookie fatigue, just because not a lot of them haven't really hit or panned out, I should say. The pitchers, they're not going to hit. But with Engel, at your point though, he is attractive because he's going to not catch at all. It seems like he's going to play everywhere else and keep him in the lineup. So he's going to get a lot of plate appearances. He's a lefty, and he sat today versus a lefty, so that's interesting. He could be even though a platoon catcher is still valuable. So, and you read off his stats this year. His career high in the minors and homers was 11 in two semi-full years. So that's not impressive. I wonder if he's a good prospect because of his catching ability, not necessarily his hitting. He can steal some bases that year. In 2024, he had 11 homers, 7 steals, 93 games. He hit .305 that year too. So I think he has a decent chance of being good. But I just didn't feel like it was worth switching out someone like Carson Kelly, who doesn't play all the time, but I think he still does pretty well when he does play. Like he's been my worst catching option, I think, amongst my fab leagues. And then like I have Liam Hicks on a couple spots who hopefully isn't out for that long. So I wasn't going to try to, I already have replacements for him. So I wasn't trying to burn too much fab if I don't need to. So Engel very well could be a very good player, but I just, I didn't really want to spend the fab to find out.
Yep, we're kind of in a similar boat there, and I don't know if he's electric enough to be there, and there'll be other catcher two options to stream throughout the year. I feel like maybe I'm wrong, but I'm not seeing it with Cooper Engel just yet. Khalil Watson was picked up in 44 online or main events, outfielder, Cleveland Guardians, average of $10, max of 28. He was picked up in only 26 OCs. This is why we switched over, folks. 26 OCs, average of 11, high of 35. Khalil Watson was a name that I expected to get more run. He was in all my waterfalls, but I guess it's just so many outfield options in OCs, it doesn't matter. Watson's hitting .290, playing every day in right field for the Guardians, a home run, two steals. Since he was called up, he finished the week on a six-game hitting streak, which is a plus. The swing and miss might be a bit much, Ben, but we're looking at a guy, 12 homers, 15 steals, hitting .255 in the minors this season. I was much more intrigued with a guy like this and some other options, but what were your thoughts on Khalil Watson this weekend?
Yeah, I had a bid in for Watson wherever I needed an outfielder. Unfortunately, I didn't get him. I just wasn't aggressive enough with my bids, but I just had a bunch of guys kind of within like the $5 average range, and Watson was not the one I landed on. But yeah, the power is there. That's why I wanted him. And the Ks were really bad his first week. Watson had... He had 8 Ks and 12 at-bats in his debut week, but then he lowered that to 3 Ks and 20 appearances this past week, where he hit the homer and stole 2 bases. So I like the upside. I was surprised he stole 2 bases. Let's see his sprint speed. He's only 50th percentile so far in limited playing time, but the barrel rate's massive. The exit velocity is awesome. And yeah, a lot of good power metrics on Savant for Watson, small sample, but I had him in like, I think we're gonna talk about this guy next. It was like him, Esmeran Valdez. I had another outfielder in that range too. I had bits on Max Kepler.
Herberto, maybe?
Yeah, I think it was Conine was more available, for example.
Gotcha.
Griffin Conine. So a lot of outfielders were available this week. And if I got Khalil, I would have been happy, but I wasn't going to break the bank just because there's a swing and miss, and it could definitely hamper his production.
For sure. Speaking of Esmerlin Valdez, he was picked up in – where did you – I was behind. I was listening to you talk. Picked up at 43 main events, as high as 51, average of 13. Esmerlin Valdez was picked up in 39 OCs, average of 9, high of 42. And Esmerlin Valdez was actually dropped in one main event, so keep that in mind. This upcoming week, that's a bit of a shocker to me. Valdez was recalled in June 11th, kind of played off and on. He's been a regular over the last five or so games since Spencer Horwitz went on the IL. He's hit safely in five of his last six, three home runs in three straight games, hitting .346 before his recall. A lot of swing and misses, we know, with Valdez, but that power is hard to find, Ben. So what was your excite level on Valdez? You mentioned you had him with Watson and company.
Yeah, I'm looking at the page where you can see who rosters him in your leagues, and he's available in my one main. And that's the main where I got Herberto. Well, no, he was never. No, he. I think he was. No, I had him on a bid list. He was never added, which is kind of wild.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Which main did you say that was?
It's my main. That's like around 60th overall. It's the third one that I go over.
Gotcha.
The other reason, though, is actually the other guy I was thinking of who I couldn't think of it. I'm trying to think of it, who we talked about, and he's not on the list, is Penango. I had Penango ahead of Valdez, and I think also Watson. But going back to Valdez for now, it was the playing time because he's been in, at least when he was called up before, the Pirates didn't always play him versus righties because he was right-handed. And I remember the first time around that there was issues with him being short side platoon. But and then, of course, he still hits like three homers over the weekend. And I'm surprised the price didn't go up more for Valdez. $13 average is pretty cheap still, despite the three homer week. Weekend, that is. And I don't know. Like, the power's great. I think he's actually got more swing and miss than Watson does. He had 3 Ks in week 13 and 8 at-bats. He had 5 Ks this past week and 15 at-bats. That's his Esmeralda Valdez. So, yeah, I like the power. But there's also – I think there's more – so I just saw a thing that said that Spencer Horwitz is out for a while with that hamstring.
Yes. Yep.
How long – do you know how long O'Neill Cruz is out for?
They say that he won't be back till after the All-Star break. They have not released it, but it sounds like he's not close. Yeah. I think there's a runway for Valdez unless he just completely hits the skids.
Yeah, so he started today, which is now 3 out of 4 versus a righty. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so I still had him like in the same bid amount as the other guys we mentioned for the most part. It was just I kept shuffling who I preferred all Sunday and Saturday. It was kind of annoying. So I like the upside for Valdez, or not, yeah, Valdez. And he's as much of a wild card, honestly, as Watson. But I do think that Valdez has like a pretty high K rate year to date, though.
Since he got recalled, it's 33. He swings and misses a ton.
Yeah, he has 18 Ks and 45 plate appearances this year. So that's a lot. So it could be all. It's very all or nothing. So
yeah, but
I know you got him.
I know that's fine. I get that. I don't care if I wrote that up or I was just making fun of Soler. He's basically a Jorge Soler that's younger, so he can be more like proficient, maybe. Than Soler, because Soler's always broken.
Yeah.
Very similar, like, tools, it feels like. Maybe I'm just simplifying it too much, but that was the easiest method. And I think I told Ryan on a show that's coming out Tuesday evening for the Bubba and the Bloom folks that I've told myself the last couple of years, I think the industry needs to tweak their brain a little bit here. Everyone points to swinging to strikeout rates, which is fair. But in this era of power hitting, a lot of guys have 28 to 35% K rates now. That's just the way it works, right or wrong. There's a reason batting average is down so much every year. But that's just my brain. Is like I said, right or wrong, probably a bad idea. But that's like in draft season, I probably wouldn't want to focus on that. But in season, if I'm a stream guys, I'd I don't just keep hitting the baseball. Like, I don't care
it's,
so much.
It's the Nick Kurtz thing, which I want to look at the end of the year to see like how hitters with his K rate did this year almost like, and to see how sustainable it is.
Or is there more like, that's
very,
very good point. Looking forward to that. Hurston Waldrip, we texted about this. I saw him in person on Friday when he made his return to the bigs. He was picked up in 42 main events, as high as 32, average of 15. Picked up in 26 OCs, average of 5, high of 21. Waldrip threw 2 innings, no runs, but it was 4 walks and 3 Ks. And what I told you via text, I watched him pitch. I kept looking at the scoreboard because, my God, his pitch count's going crazy. There was one point, it was at 52 pitches. Remember, I said he has pitched 2 innings. 52, and it was 26 balls and 26 strikes. Like, he was working, I wouldn't even say his working counts. He was either missing a lot, but the one thing I will say, what I told you guys, his splitter made, and the Giants offense isn't great, but made them look foolish at times. Like, they were just blown away with what he was throwing up there, and his slider wasn't bad either. So it's like a yin and a yang with him. If he can somehow harness that control, the stuff is outstanding. That's part one. Part two, where you and I both are kind of out on him, I don't know what the playing time holds. Is he going to keep piggybacking Ronaldo Lopez? Like, there was a chance he was going to the minors, but then they had a setback, so he's hanging around, but he's not technically in the rotation. There's a lot of questions where he should take Bryce Eldridge's spot, simple as that, but that hasn't happened yet. And they want Grant Holmes in the pen, so here you go. But time will tell. I think it's worthy of a few bucks. I just don't know what to expect.
Yeah, I'm looking at what he went for in my leagues, and Waldrip was above $10 in the 3 leagues where he went, and I was below $10, so I didn't get him. Which is kind of weird because he was someone I really liked in DC season. I have 3 DCs with Waldrop and I did 7. So he was a big target of mine. So it was just weird to not really want him at this point. And you kind of mentioned it when you're describing what you saw at the game. It was just the 3 walks, I think, is what he had in his first. Oh, he had 4 walks in 2 innings. And then the Braves' reluctance to say that he's in the rotation, not really knowing what his role is. It's just kind of messy, and for that reason I didn't really want to spend too much just because I have not that much fab left, and I didn't want to, like, he has the upside Waldrip of being really good, and that's why I took him in a handful of spots. I know you liked him, and especially in the meatball draft.
Yeah, meatball and, got a little excited about that one.
A little excited. Bubba was very excited. But he was good last year, and did he have a fractured elbow? Is that what it was?
I'd have to look at it. I can't even remember.
Yeah. It was some sort of elbow injury. Yeah. So I wonder, it's not Tommy John, but maybe he has the same issues with command that people from Tommy John have. I don't know. It could take time for him to get into the groove, but I like Waldrop's upside. It's just that it could be a while till he's good, and then lack of role was just enough to keep my bids in check.
Yeah, no, that's we were on the same, like, completely same page. I wouldn't be shocked if he lights it on fire, but I was not going to be a part of that. All right, next most added player in the main events, Ryan Johnson of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, picked up in 42 main events, his highest 19, average of 8. Picked up in 15 OCs, his highest 10, average of 3. Wasn't really in the OC game on Ryan Johnson, but did get in there in the 15 game for Ryan Johnson. 6 innings, no runs, 1 walk, 8 Ks against the Orioles on his last start. He's had some rough ones. Like, we talked about him a little bit last week, or maybe it was on my Fab show with Ryan. Big time talents, minor league numbers were great. He's had some rocky moments in the bigs, but I was excited for Ryan Johnson. What about you?
Yeah, I definitely had him in bid list. I didn't get Johnson. I just wasn't aggressive enough. Kind of similar story with Hurston Waldrip, and the 8 Ks and 6 innings was awesome. It really got Johnson to stand out to me. And the 2 start week, or the presumed 2 start week. Actually, it should be it's not certain, I don't think, but it seems like he'll get the Sox and the Mariners tonight for Johnson. So as a flyer, it makes sense. But I guess for example, in my one main, I have Grant Holmes, and I had a list or a bid list where Johnson, I was adding Johnson to drop Holmes. I wouldn't have gotten Johnson based on the bids, but I ended up pulling it back because, like, for example, RotoWire has Holmes back in the rotation this week. He just had a good relief outing behind Elder. This is like almost trading trash for trash potentially. And
yes, it is.
So I didn't want to force something because Johnson has been really bad to start the year, but I know we both liked him after spring training. I think, when he
did. Yes.
And then he pitched horribly the first game and he got sent down. But I think he has upside, Johnson, and I just didn't want to get too aggressive.
And a really nice two-step this week. So
yeah,
worth keeping an eye on. All right, I'm going to pivot again to talk about some, because we could, there's a long list of guys we can still go through, but I want to do a couple more things before we wrap up the show. So I filtered to the max amount of money spent per player in main events. I just want to get kind of your thoughts on how you would have approached said players in case they're available for other people's and OCs. Because like in OCs, Robbie Ray was in three leagues. Bolte went for $180, $89 in an OC, Ben. Tanner Scott still going for a ton of cash. Those are OCs. So I want to ask you about main events real quick. Shane Bieber was picked up in 12 more main events. That should wrap it up. As high as 124, as low as 25. Biebs had two starts last week in his return. Shaky is what I would say. Maybe knocking the rust off if you want to be an optimist. I'm not an optimist on this one. I'm not a Bieber guy, but some people are that spent $124 for him, Ben. So what were your thoughts if Bieber was potentially available in your leagues?
He was. He was available in two of my three mains. Ironically enough, he went for $77 in both of them and not the same manager, I don't think, which is weird. Yeah. And looking at the min, so Bieber's min was 25. I think my bids were 18. I just don't think he's the same pitcher anymore. I think there's a lot of desperate people, and there's name value tied to Shane Bieber because of how good he was back near, like, coming like around COVID times. So it's been a little bit for Bieber now when he was been really good and coming off a big injury. Like, he missed a ton of time last 2 years, and he's 31 now. I just wasn't willing to break the bank on him, and not that I could anyway, but in the main event type format, it makes sense for some teams to do this. I just didn't want to do it. I just don't know if he's that good anymore.
Agreed. Chase DeLauder came back rather quickly from his rib injury and repicked up in eight main events, average of 66, high of 121, picked up in 53 OCs, as high as 35, as high as 113, an average of 35. I know I dropped Chase in my 12s. I still have him in 15s because I felt like a month injury and I needed roster space badly. So we'll see if I regret that. But the reason I bring this up, Ben, is the high price tag in mains. But this is also a guy who's having a good year, but it's 265, seven homers, two steals. Like, it was a fantastic start to the season. It's been rather lackluster since. I just wanted to highlight that. Like, how excited were you potentially on a guy like Chase DeLauder?
All right, similar deal. He was available in two of my mains. He went for $43 and $75. Well, actually, no, one main in my listener league auction. So he went for $75 and $43. My bids were like $8. Yeah, you mentioned his seven homers, two steals, and he only missed a week and a half, it seems like. So he's really slowed down. Yeah, he only has 25 runs, 36 RBIs. That's a horrible pace for a full-time player. So I know he had like all his production basically came in the first week, and then that's been it. So I just don't know how good DeLauder is going to be. And he's like top of my outfield ads with Penango and all the other guys we mentioned, but under $10. I just don't know how good he is.
Yeah, that's why I was surprised to see some of the spending, because like I've rostered him pretty much all year in a lot of places, and I was debating dropping him already for roster space needs. But when I like IL minimum 2 weeks, probably 4 to 6, I'm out. Now it was 2 weeks at the most, but I'm curious. I root for him. I still have him in 15s, but the 12s are pretty rough. In your backyard, the New York Yankees, Trent Grisham was picked up in five main events, high of 105, average of 60, picked up in 49 OCs, high of 39, average of 15. Now, Grisham, I was excited about this week. He's available in like one or two of my leagues. Didn't get him anywhere. But this is a guy, because I know the batting average can be suspect, Ben. He's hitting .232. But he's got the eight homers, he's got the six steals, and he usually leads off for the Yankees. So that all excites me at times. What would have been your excitement level for a Trent Grisham?
I was pretty excited. I bid $34 on him in the New Jersey main where he was available, the only league he was available in, and I lost to a $105 bid. So I was blown away, which is I was a little upset when I saw that. But yeah, Grisham had been really good in the last few weeks before he got hurt. So he's gonna definitely bat leadoff again. I don't think he'll be back till later this week. I mean, he actually started stealing bases too before he got hurt, which is something that he had stopped doing last year and even in 2024. So if Grisham could steal, he's at 8-6 right now and like two fifths of a season. That's a pretty good pace. the average won't be there, but good power, good runs, good steals, and RBIs will be pretty good too. So I could have really used Grisham on that team, but it's all right though.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I was kind of minimum, as I said, didn't get him, but I was interested in the power potential and on that in that lineup could be interesting.
Even in an OC, I would like it too.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to bring this up, just because, like I said, he's picked up in 49 OCs, average of 15. That's a pretty sweet price, honestly. We don't have to talk about this. It's more just what the heck is going on. Will Smith was picked up in one league for $105, and I've do news for the Patreon, and I even just looked it up before I said it. 3 hours ago, there's still no timetable for Will Smith's return from the neck injury. Like, he got a shot in it. It's perplexing. So I was shocked to hear $105 for Will Smith. That was one of those that stood out to me. All right.
Yeah, I was
Yeah.
gonna say, if you're desperate for a second catcher, maybe you do it if you have a lot of fab left, but it could be a while.
Like, Michael Wacha picked up for $96, Trevor Rogers for 88. I'd flip that. What's your thoughts on Luis Castillo, though? Picked up in five leagues. The piggyback's off now until after the All-Star break, it sounds like. Who knows what's true these days? He's picked up in five leagues, high of 83, average of 32. Picked up in 40 OCs, average of 6 for Luis Castillo of the Seattle Mariners. And this week, Castillo set up to face the Toronto Blue Jays. Next week would be the Tampa Bay Rays. Anything of interest for you there?
No, I was out on Castillo in drafts this year, and I haven't seen anything to make me want to add him. So I would not have been aggressive in adding Castillo.
All right. With that being said, I think we are ready to, let's just go and let's let everybody know who we picked up this week, and then we'll do some potential drops in your online championships.
Okay, let me go to Fab Results. First up is the Listener League. I got Griffin Conine, dropped Leody Taveras 8-1. I got Yohendrick Panango, dropped Marcelo Meyer 4-0. Got Nick Lofton, dropped Marcus Semien 3-0. So I'm glad I dropped Semien. Now it seems like it's to be a worse thing than we thought going into Fab, and he wasn't that good anyway. So three ads there, all cheap. I'm staying close to that $10, Bobby. You'll be proud of me.
Yeah, you're doing good with that for sure.
And then New Jersey Maine. This is the one where I got shut out on Grisham. I was actually a run up to a handful of bids. I was a little upset with some of this stuff, but my one win was maybe not even that good. Trevor McDonald dropped Hogan Harris 4-1. I had Pagan stash, so I was able to drop Hogan Harris. So stay below 10 there.
Nice.
The third main, the one that's around 60th overall in the main event, trying to make some moves there. This is where I got Heriberto Hernandez drop Wade Mackler 24-16. Happy with that. Hopefully Heriberto can stick around. And then I also got Yohendrick Panango 3-0 and dropped Tony Santian. As a spoiler, I do now have Yohendrick Panango in all four Fab leagues. And now going to the hybrid main, it's kind of spoiled one of my ads. It was Panango dropped Victor Robles 8-0. And then here I got Max Kepler dropped Jesus Sanchez 3-0. And then I added Jacob Gonzalez dropped Richie Palacios 1-0. So pretty close to, that was $12. So did pretty well there.
It's really good. Really good. All right. For me, there's a couple of them I didn't even make moves in because I didn't think the replay it was like throwing trash at trash type discussion. So Vegas Listener League didn't do anything there. Maybe I should have just dropped Matt Shaw. That's already starting to come back and haunt me on that one. I dropped him in a lot of other leagues, but not that one. In my Vegas AC, I was active. Ryan Johnson dropped Zach Gallen 13-0. That felt great. Picked up Hao Yu Lee, dropped Daniel Schneemann 8-3. I want to mention Lee for a second here because, first off, for those that aren't aware, he's the second baseman for the Detroit Tigers. He's playing while Torres is out. Jose Altuve actually had some glowing remarks about him after they played the Tigers. So this is like a mini me, essentially. Take that for how you wish, but Altuve was a damn good player for a while. Lee is hitting 252 on the season with three homers and one steal, but since he was recalled on June 13th with said injury to Torres, Lee's hitting 350 with a home run and a steal, which is not too shabby. And at AAA this year, he was hitting 242 with three homers on the season. So it's not electric stuff, and that's only in 17 games, by the way. But I like what he's doing right now. Very streamable on a 15. Second base, third base comes in handy, as I mentioned. Some of the issues with like Matt Shaw and company. So that's nice. Picked up Nick Lofton, dropped Tyler Callahan 6-5. Just hope Lofton's injury is not as bad as it looked. it shouldn't be. Picked up Esmeralda Valdez, dropped Wade Meckler 5-3. So a lot of nice tight low bidding for me in that one. OLAC time. Picked up Nick Lofton, dropped Arenado 4-0. Picked up Lee, dropped Meckler 4-0. Specked on Ryan Jeffers, dropped Daniel Susak, who's on the IL 3-0. So I'll take a week without Jeffers. He's supposed to be back. He's at week 5 of his 5 to 6 week recovery, so he should be back pretty soon. Nothing in the listener league for me. Both listener leagues, nothing this week. And then my Beat Bubba OC picked up Aaron Nola for his two-step. This is the ultimate Bubba the Bloom irony situation here, Ben. Picked up Aaron Nola for his two-step, 3-0, no runner-up. Dropped Cole Reagans. So, yeah, Ryan's guy, my guy, opposite sides. I picked up Owen Cassie, dropped Oswald Peraza, 1-0, and picked up Kyle Karros, dropped Nolan Arenado, 1-0. So two guys with great schedules this week for a buck. I'll take my chances. Casey probably plays 4 games. He might sit 3, but even in that matchup, I'll take it. I like Karros a lot. He's in for average. Pop's questionable, but tons of batting average, which could lead to run production as well. All righty, let's talk about it, Ben. You recreated the formula here on our drops. We were just going down, you know, from 100% and all this stuff, like dollar values. What did you tweak this week for us to discuss for a shorter list that I think will be pretty interesting?
Yeah, well, so as we were debating where to pick up our discussion from last week, we were getting to more like the positive dollars and players that we probably wouldn't drop realistically. It was more just like a discussion about how underwhelming they've been. So I threw out the idea of what if we go down from 75 and above to 50 to 75% in the OCs, and we got a little bit better, or definitely a different name of a different player pool to talk about. And I think at least for the OCs, these names could be probably more actionable than talking about someone like Kevin Gausman. And yeah, so it's 50 to 75% rostered in the OCs and then filtered by the lowest year-to-date Razzball player rater value.
Perfect. We'll skip a few of these guys. We can talk about quite a few. Like Tommy Edman just got called up. Blaze Jordan's playing well, just got called up. Merrill Kelly, I think we've highlighted him before, Ben, but he's 51% rostered still in OCs. He's a negative $19.30 value. He's 77% rostered in main events. I guess maybe more importantly, should he be 77% rostered in main events? Because Kelly, like, he had like a 3 or 4 start stretch where people were like, okay, he's figuring it out potentially. That's not the case. It's been 5, 3, 6, 2, 7. Those are the end runs in his last 5 starts. There's no strikeout juice, plenty of walks, Ben. So, like, main OCs, he should just be dropped everywhere. Like, maybe stream him at some point in time. But 77% in main events. What are your thoughts on that?
Definitely too high. He has 47 strikeouts and 33 walks on the year. That is atrocious. And, to your point, he should be even lower than 51% in the OCs. And then the mains, he should be a lot lower. I have him in a DC where pitching is tight and I don't even want to play him. That's how bad Merrill Kelly is now. I think he's just toast. So we need to drop those numbers even lower, I think.
Full agree there. Jack Flaherty, we just hyped up. He's minus $15 on the year, but a lot of that damage was done early. That's for sure. Let's talk Stephen Kwan. Stephen Kwan still 52% rostered in OCs, 87% in main events. So it's starting to go down. He's a minus $14.50 player, Stephen Kwan is. If you like just no-flavored oatmeal, this might be your guy. Stephen Kwan's hitting 210 on the year with a home run and 3 steals, Ben. He doesn't even play every day right now. That's the best part. What are your thoughts on, like, 87% in main events? We just talked about, like, 8 outfielders that were available in main events this week. I think would all give you more upside than Stephen Kwan.
Well, first off, Bubba, I do sometimes eat plain oatmeal. but
because you're worried about your health. I'm talking about, and you said sometimes. There's people that want to do it every day, and that is a boring lifestyle.
Yeah, I'll throw peanut butter in there if I want something.
Hey, there you go.
That's delicious.
Yeah. Treat yourself.
Oh, man. All right. So he's still available in 2 of my leagues, Stephen Kwan, because I did not want to add him. I was adding Khalil Watson and Penango and all the other guys we mentioned, all the other outfielders over Kwan. He should not be this high in OCs, and I think he's deserving of being here in the mains as well. His percentages, what are they're at? Yeah, he should be below 50 in the OCs for sure. Because his profile, even when Kwan's good, is a 15-teamer. He's not really an OC-type player. So I think his main event should be more like 50% for sure. I know he went – I think he had a death in the family or something.
Yeah, he
recently,
missed some
but
time with that. Yeah.
maybe that was like a lingering, like maybe it was like a something that was going on for a while and then they finally pass, or I don't know what, you can't really say that one way or the other, but he's just been bad this year, Kwan, and whatever the reason is, you can't really roster him.
Agreed. Full agree. We don't really have to hit on Matt Shaw. He's back on the IL. I started dropping him last week. I guess the simple thing, Ben, would you just drop Matt Shaw all over again? Because it seems like he wasn't playing anyways. So what's Matt? Or was he not playing because his wrist was hurting? That's
That's
the
what my first
question.
thought was.
Like,
Yeah.
do we hold hope that the manager is actually doing a positive here and it wasn't a stupid, bad platoon situation?
Yeah, all those homers hurt his wrist.
But then they started him against what, the Miz, after giving him a couple days off or whatever the heck it was. So who
I mean,
knows?
that honestly, that probably hurt his wrist trying to catch up to 105.
Yeah, no doubt. Jeez.
Yeah, I never got Shaw. I know you did, so it's harder for it's easier for me to say to cut him. I guess in an OC it's easier to in the mains. If he's like your only IL by chance, Shaw, maybe you hold on and see how long the injury
That must
is.
be nice.
Yeah, it would be nice if you only have one IL guy in most leagues, but well, at least now we have a. So if you didn't drop him this past Sunday, you being anybody, maybe you we get some information about how long he's gonna be out for, and that kind of changes the decision. But if he's out for like 4 weeks, maybe I think you just drop him.
Yeah, no, that's I got 12s. He's an easier drop. 15s, I'd stick around a little longer, but it just sucks. The skills are actually pretty decent, and no love there. Andrew Vaughn is now a very interesting one to discuss because 68% rostered in OCs, 92% in main events, minus -$8.60. Missed time on the IL with the factor that playing time's up in the air because he usually sits versus righties, but gets a few at bats there. But he's hitting .331 on the year, Ben, with two home runs, 10% K rate, and 11.4% walk rate. He's been awesome. But like I said, that platoon situation, and again, he will start versus an occasional righty. It's just very inconsistent. That has made it hard for me. Like, he was available in some of my OCs, and I still couldn't do it because I think the Brewers face like five righties this week. And it makes like the decisions to even start him are complicated. So my question to you is, how would you approach this Andrew Vaughn conundrum? Because is the roster is positive? Would you keep him on the bench? How would you go about it?
He could definitely get dropped in an OC. I pulled up the game log for the Brewers. They faced three lefties in a row Saturday through today, and Vaughn started all of those at batting cleanup. He did play Friday versus a righty, but he sat the previous three games versus righties. And the emergence of Jake Bowers has kind of destroyed Vaughn's path to playing time, even more so than it did last year. Yeah, like he's hitting well for average, but the power isn't there. His barrel rate's probably the worst of his career, 3.7%. That's by far his worst of the season. And then you look at his weekly logs. So when Vaughn's playing, he's not getting. He has 1 week with more than 15 at bats, and that was week 11 where he had 21. So he's not getting the volume you want in an OC, and maybe not even a 15 either. So I know I think I said this, but first base has been pretty fruitful this year in fantasy compared to third base at least. So I'm sure there's someone available, or there could have been at some point where you could replace Vaughn. So I he's a tough start every week. I know people are more leaning towards quality versus volume when it comes to start sit, but at some point you do have to play, and I don't know if Vaughn's going to be playing enough to be worth rostering.
Yep, no, I agree. And that's the dilemma with Andrew Vaughn. This could be a quick one, Ben. Ezekiel Tovar is still 75% rostered in OCs, 98% of main events. He's hitting .209 with six homers and five steals. Why are the roster rates this high?
Because I'm an idiot, Bubba, I
Oh, you
think.
still have you still are you still starting him though?
So
That's a
he's in my
yes.
New
That's a
Jersey
yes.
main. Hold on. It's tough. Well, the problem is like he's in cores. So I definitely have sat him some. This is the best way to say, because I just looked in John Posma rosters. I'm in my one league where he's available.
Well, that's a positive. But is it his second or eighth overall team? Which one is it?
Yeah, right. It's probably, yeah. Freaking Posma doing it
Yep.
again. So I have, where is he? I have, oh, this is a horrible, embarrassing, 241 at bats in my lineup of Tovar. On my bench, I have, oh man, is he even there? I have 32. He's actually hit 250 on my bench. Go figure, with a home run, a steal, and 22 at bats. So,
oh man,
it always works that way, right? He does better on your bench. It's just frustrating. I'm playing on this week. He's 7 home games. He better do something, but I don't know why. I won't be able to. Well, also on this main, I have Swanson too. So my shortstops were just complete duds. Thought they'd be great, but I don't know. In a 15, I even looking at free agency, I'm gonna go to this league to see who's available. And then OC, it's different. I think you can probably do it, but if I filter on the last 14 weeks, the best options are Zach McKinstry, Taylor Walls, Jared Triolo, Edmundo Sosa, Ben Williamson, Tristan Gray. Those are the guys with the most at-bats in this main event the last 14 days. So
that's pretty bad.
Yeah, I'm not – if this is for the potential of Tovar, I'm not cutting him in a 15. In a 12, you might find someone by chance who was dropped, but I would only drop Tovar for the right – the replacement. I'm trying to preach now a lot, especially with myself, and people ask for Fab advice in the Discord, like, who are you going to drop so and so for? Because Fab is precious this time of year, at least for me and a lot of others too. So I'm not going to blow Fab just to make a move. And I think Tovar is kind of in that category of player.
That's fair. If your options are what you mentioned, it's rough. It's kind of like we were talking yesterday about someone you wanted to potentially drop for these other options, and we're like, is that actually upgrading anything, or are we just throwing, you know, stuff at the wall? And that's the tricky part, especially in 15s. You have some very tough decisions to make there in 15s. A couple more here. Kumar Rocker, he's still 54% in OCs, 100% in main events, minus 770, but last two outings, 11 innings, 2 earned runs, 14 Ks, 1 walk. He's shown signs of life of late, is what I would say, Ben. It's always a rocky road for Rocker, but what are your thoughts on this one?
My gut says he could be like a bench streamer, or just a streamer in OCs. His swing strike rate is actually higher than his K-minus walk the last 3 weeks, and his walk rate isn't even that bad. It's 7.9%. So I think Rocker's got unlucky with the Ks. The whip on the year is bad, kind of same story as Walker Buehler. It's 1.34 for Rocker. He is at, I think 50% is fine for OCs. The value is probably in the lack of volume, because I know he missed time.
Yeah, he's been up and down.
Yeah, he only has 2 wins though, so that's probably why his player rater value is so low. I think it's the lack of volume, no wins, and then the whip. He's a streamer at best, probably. So I think I guess Rocker could be even rostered in fewer leagues than half the OCs, probably.
All right. Elvis Alvarado of the Sacramento Athletics, 51% in OCs, 85% in main events. Almost tells you my answer right there. The fact he's not more widely rostered, minus $5.90. But a few weeks back, we thought he was the future closer, or at least shared closer in Sacramento. He has not had a save since June 13th, Ben. In the 6 outings since said save, he's allowed 5 runs over those 6 outings. 3 of those outings were scoreless, but the bright side, no walks is what I would say. If you're an Elvis Alvarado manager, are you hanging on to this and hoping something happens, or would you be making a move to improve elsewhere?
Well, I still have Hogan Harris in a main event, so I would that probably hold in a 15. And then OC, where you probably have more options, I'd be more willing to drop Alvarado. I will say, though, so you mentioned his recent outings. His whip in that time is under 1. Because his whip in week 13, his whip in week 13 was 0.86, and then last week it was 0.75. So he's getting unlucky with the run scoring, it seems like, especially when he has no walks since then. But I remember, I think it was Jewett, posted like essentially a game log of all the A's saves, and it's like they go through small periods of, like, they just cycle through their relievers. And I feel like the only one who's kind of gotten any regular save opportunities is Hogan Harris, but he's a lefty, and it's been a while since he got one. So in a 15, I would wait to drop Alvarado, because I don't know who else it would be. I know that other guy has gotten saves, Barnett or something like that.
Barnett's been getting saves, yeah.
Yeah, but in an OC, you could definitely move on from Alvarado quicker, I think.
That's a good point you made on Hogan Harris. That's one thing I kept trying to say to Ryan is just he's not going to get them all, but he's getting a lot of the high leverage stuff. Like he's their Tanner Scott. He's not as good as Tanner Scott, but he's their Tanner Scott. That's the way I look at it in the bullpen. All right, Ben, we'll go over some more of these next week because there are some enticing names, because some of them are good, bad, but it's more like the are they worth holding on to situation. But we do have some actually a list of listener questions in the Discord today. So I want to get to those and give the people what they want in here. So let's get to the questions as I pulled them up. John Wilder says, what do I do with a league that I have over $400 left in FAB? Clearly dropped the ball and should have spent more earlier. Do I just go the extra $5 to $10 on the guys I want the rest of the way? I'd say yes.
Yeah, I would. I wouldn't like overpay on everybody. I would still try to, if there's someone who's available, like drop the hammer, which everyone likes to say. But yeah, I would just make, just definitely go a little bit more to, if you really want somebody.
Full agree. Rupert from Scotland says, is Brendan Donovan alive? Right now, no.
Probably not.
Yeah. There's nothing in his rehab at the moment. It's pretty rough. Pretty rough deal. Yeah. Mailman Mike says, to have a chance in an overall, do you have to run pure? That's always a good one.
Well, I guess. So do you think when DeGrom got hurt that 1 year for Phil, do you think that would say he did not run pure? Because he ended up dropping DeGrom.
Yeah. And based on your week you had last week, I'd say you're not running pure, but you're still doing just fine.
Yeah, I was trying to pull up the overall leader. Yeah, I'm still top 10 despite having two horrible hitting weeks in a row. Let's think about pitching. So if, say, you have Garrett Crochet in the main event, but you hit on Cam Schlittler, maybe you double tap Schlittler and Mizorowski, I'm sure you're contending as long as your other hitters that you picked and like your closers. It's possible, but you still have to get very lucky. So it's not necessarily you're running pure. You're just getting lucky regardless of how it's happening almost. Mm-hmm. I think it definitely is easier to run pure, quote unquote. And I was trying to think back to when I finished third in 2022. I think like all my early picks hit for the most part. To a degree, it definitely helps. Like you can always get like a Robbie Ray, like Phil did in 2022, where he was a 20th round pick and he's like a first round value. So if you can find guys like that, say you added Brian Baker and you punted saves, that's going to help a lot. Or maybe you missed out on, maybe say you drafted Edwin Diaz and then added Brian Baker. You didn't run pure in that sense, but you've got all your saves from a different source. So there's ways to not run pure, but it just makes it even harder, I think. Because I found when I've done really well in the main event, knock on wood, that I hit the majority of my early round picks. Like they just at least return relatively good value and some actually outperform. So I think it's possible, but it just makes it even harder.
And it makes a ton of sense just think logically from it, but you can obviously get around it. We've seen many guys, you know, the couple like you mentioned Phil, but other people have lost a pick or two and you can still survive and make it happen. But you know, more time than not, you need to have certain things go your way.
I'll say in the OC you probably have to be pure because there's so many more teams.
Yeah,
it's like 2,000 something teams.
You got to really hit that peak to make that work. And then Alex says, piggybacking on this, the run pure thing, how high do you need to be in the running at this point of the season? I just barely cracked 75th overall, and I'm not sure I even looked at this or just focused. Should he focus on the overall or his league? He's 75th overall. Like basically, does he have a chance is what he's saying.
I would say absolutely. Yeah, I mentioned my one team, my other mains around like 60th. It went well, actually, so – I just wanted to use me as an example. So this main event went down to 100 recently. It's back up to 70. It was 60 at one point, like during the week. So you can still move a lot, especially when you're bunched up with the other teams. So he's only 5 behind me. And I know what I have to do for this one team to get it near the top, but I would not give up on the overall yet. I would still focus on your league first, but in theory, what you're weak in the overall is probably what you're weak in your league. Bearing something crazy, so I would just try to attack those weaknesses and maintain your strengths.
And to kind of piggyback off of that last statement you made there, when I had Mr. Todd Hoppe on the show a week or so ago, 2 weeks ago now, one thing that really stuck with me, because it is a question what was just asked in our Discord there, is when do I know what to focus on? And I've always been the guy that just focuses on, I want to win my leagues and whatever happens after that's cool. He made a great point. He starts focusing on the overall because if he's gaining ground in the overall, there's a great chance he's gaining ground in his league. Because it's what you said basically is if you're weak in said category in the overall, you're probably weak in it in your league as well. So there's a lot to be said about that. And you can gain a lot more ground in an overall than your league from time to time as well, just because of the way the structure is put together. So very eye-opening stuff there, because I you know, you guys all say it in different ways, but it takes forever for this caveman to have it sink in my head. So to have him say it that way, I'm like, that actually makes way too much sense. Then, because like my brain's always like, okay, I got to look at my league. How do I improve here? Okay, now let's look at the overall. How do I improve here? When in reality, let's look at the big pie, and it probably fixes the whole thing in the end. And that was pretty interesting to hear.
It is highly correlated. I think the best way is look at how many points you have in your league, because you could be first in a main event, but still be like 100th overall. If like there's four teams that have 108 points, it could be very tight at the top. So like if you're destroying the second place team, then you're probably doing really well in the overall. It's just dependent. So it's a good way of gauge how good your team is. But if you're 75 overall right now, I think you definitely have a shot at making a move.
Good point. Good point. But all right, Ben, we'll wrap it up there. Week 15 Fab recap in the books. Another doozy. Flew through a lot of names once again. I hope people like the exercise on holding guys, especially with this new filter you put in there. I think there's a lot of names that are kind of fringy, not just because of production, just what do they bring to the table? Like, they're not being bad, but are they being good enough, I guess, is the question. So I think it's a good topic of conversation, especially if we're trying to make those tough drops or ads, as you were talking about. Is it worth doing so? Well, these are players that might come up in mind of should I be adding or dropping them throughout the way. So it's a good topic there. I hope people enjoy. But final thoughts, Ben, as we wrap up another episode and get ready. You know, first pitch is about 20 minutes away.
Yep. So we have time to tweak our lineups one more time. And it'd be cool to see. I'm looking forward to seeing what Hunter Green goes for. He will be available one of my mains. I don't know if I'll be able to win Hunter Green or if I'm going to try to win him, but there'll be $300 bids, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's a good chance. And I don't think I have
Wilder. Spend it on him.
Yeah, there you go. I don't think I have $300 in any of my leagues, so there's a good chance I will not be making that happen, but I will try, especially in certain leagues that people know I need pitching in. But we'll see how that goes on Monday. That'll be the highlight of the show. We talked about everywhere on Sunday night and on the Canadian Podcasting Network and other places. So go check all that out. But until then, check out Ben on Twitter at @BreakingBen_T. I'm at BD Intrick, and this was Bench with Bubba, episode 865. Let's go.